Good morning. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed maybe 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the water and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to let him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this day and this opportunity. And I pray, Lord, that you reveal yourself to us today, Lord, that you help us to see what you have for us to see in your word, Lord, and that you speak through me today and allow us all to hear your message, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I heard a story of a ship that was sinking in the middle of a storm. When the captain called out to the crew, "Does anybody know how to pray?" One man stepped forward and said, "Yes, sir, I know how to pray." The captain said, "Wonderful, you pray while the rest of us put on life jackets. We're one short." Now, we may think this story is funny, but the truth is Jesus provides. He wants us to pray when times are tough and uncertain. Jesus is our life jacket. We know from last week that Jesus, after feeding 5,000, went to the mountain by himself to pray. While Jesus was on the mountain, his disciples went down to the lake shore to board a boat for Capernaum. This trek would take about 5 or 6 miles across the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee sits 650 feet below sea level and is 150 feet deep. Surrounded by hills, the sea is well known for its sudden storms. Cooler Mediterranean winds from the west get funneled through several valleys that descend onto the lake, often colliding with hotter inland air, resulting in strong winds. As we see in Scripture, the disciples faced such strong winds on this journey across the lake. The winds and the fact that it was dark made for a harrowing ride. Many of the disciples were experienced boatsmen and would not be fazed by the dark. The Scriptures paint a picture for us of what this journey was like. It was dark. It was the dark of night, and the wind was kicking up. Imagine crossing the Hood Canal at night in a windstorm with no motor, just a sail and manpower to row. They didn't have GPS either, so they had to know the way using celestial navigation, landmarks, and rudimentary instruments. As the winds kicked up, the disciples realized that they had traveled maybe 3 or 4 miles. This meant that they still had 2 or 3 miles left to travel. Even though they expected such storms, it was still a frightening and physically exhausting fighting this storm. Try rowing across Lake Superior in gale force winds. They were probably taking on water from the rough seas and in fear for their lives. Jesus had not yet come to them, so they were all alone. This can be looked at from the perspective of the person lost and without Jesus. The Bible tells us that the person who is unsaved is abiding in darkness. Colossians 1:13 reads, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." So those who are still unsaved are still wandering in darkness and not yet have seen the light of Jesus. The disciples likely felt deserted. Jesus was not with them, and they were facing a great storm. The unsaved also face great storms without the help of Jesus. But the saved have Jesus to guide us through the storms. Country singer-songwriter Ann Wilson faced the tragic death of her brother when she was 15. She tells a story in her book, My Jesus. Ann struggled for years with her brother's death, but she chose to trust Jesus to get her through this tragedy. She still longs for her brother, but is comforted by the fact that she will see him forever in eternity. Ann said, when she looks back on her darkest days and grief and reflects on all God has done during this time, he is faithful in his consistent thread she sees woven through all that he has done. When Anne felt alone and hurting, Jesus was always there for her. She found comfort in his words and trusted in his ways. Storms are different, or they should be. Those of us who know Jesus, we have the one who is powerful and more powerful than any storm. Just because you are saved doesn't mean you won't face storms in your life. Psalms 27:13-14 says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. George MacDonald, a Scottish author and poet and Christian congregational minister, said that man is perfect in his faith who can come to God in the utter darkness of his feelings and desires without a glow or an aspiration, with the weight of lowly thoughts, failures, neglect, and wandering forgetfulness, and say to him, Thou art my refuge. Jesus is our refuge, though, through all sorts of storms. Storms in our lives come unexpectedly and are challenging and sometimes overwhelming. There's 5 facts about storms that I would like us to remember. First one is, storms are inevitable. In John 16:33, Jesus says, I have said these things to you, that in me you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Take heart, I have overcome the world. The second one is, storms are unpredictable. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. James 4:14 tells us, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Number 3 is, Matthew 5:45 reminds us that storms are impartial. It rains on the unjust and not just the just. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Number 4, storms are temporary. In 1 Peter 1:16, Peter refers to a season of suffering. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, reminds us that God knows how much we can handle. And then finally, storms are for building faith. James 1 tells us to count it all joy. When storms comes, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the test of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may become perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. When a storm comes into a Christian's life, the Christian has two choices. They can pray or they can stay. Praying draws us closer to God. Staying pushes us further away from God. When I learned that I was going to be a father, it was a difficult time for me. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. We weren't married, and I was convicted by the Spirit that I had made a mistake and was now about to pay the consequence. Now, don't get me wrong. My daughter is one of the greatest things that happened to me, but I was scared. Her mother and I had broken up, and we were still working things out when we got pregnant with Lisa. It was a time of growing, but the storm strengthened my walk with Jesus. I chose to pray and seek counsel from my pastor at the time. Through prayer, Jesus calmed the storm, but he let me struggle for a bit beforehand. He wasn't going to miss an opportunity to build my character, and as a result of the storm, I drew closer to him. It wasn't easy by any means. I was unemployed at the time, and I had been laid off a couple of months prior and not found a new job yet. My now wife was stressed that we were having a child and I was not working. As you know, kids take money. Diapers, clothes, baby formula are not cheap. I took a job at Papa Murphy's a couple months before Lisa was born just to pay the bills. It wasn't the ideal job, but God used it to grow me. I was humbled to go from being the director of a crisis pregnancy center to working at a pizza place. I would like to say this was the only storm I have ever faced in my life, but the truth is I have faced many storms, and a lot of them are the result of my own choices. In fact, at times I feel like I'm still in a storm, but I know the maker of the wind and the rain, and I trust him. If we look back to verse 19, we see that they had rowed 3 or 4 miles. But now that they see Jesus walking toward them on the water, the significance of this is that it is a private manifestation of Jesus' messianic glory to his disciples. People don't just walk on water, but walking on the sea is not something Jesus did just to amaze his disciples. But rather, it is a powerful, visible demonstration of Jesus' sovereignty over the world he created. The disciples likely thought they were seeing a ghost. They were not expecting to see Jesus walking across the water. The Message paraphrase of this verse puts it this way. They were maybe 3 or 4 miles out when they saw Jesus walking on the sea, quite near the boat. They were scared senseless, but he reassured them, "It is me. It's all right. Don't be afraid." Once Jesus spoke, saying, "It is I," the disciples were no longer afraid and let him in the boat. There is a significance to Jesus using the phrase, "It is I." It is the same as if Jesus said, "It is I am," or "It is I, Yahweh, am here." Jesus was expressing his divinity. Faith is a mindset that expects God to act. When we act on this expectation, we can overcome our fears. Even after watching Jesus' miracles, feeding the 5,000, the disciples were still had not taken the final step of faith to believe that he was God's son. If they had, they would not have been amazed by him walking on water. They did not transfer the truth that they already knew about him into their own lives. We read of Jesus walking on water, and yet we often marvel how he is able to work in our lives. We must not only believe these miracles really occurred, we must also transfer the faith to our own life situations. When the rain falls and the world is dark and gray, we know we need to have faith that Jesus is still on our side. He walked on water, healed the lame, and fed 5,000 men with very little. He can and will get you through whatever you face. Matthew also tells of Jesus walking on water in 14:22-33. But it adds more detail to the story. Both accounts took place on the Sea of Galilee. Matthew 14:28-31 reads, "And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Bruce B. Barrett, in the Life Application Commentary, points out, Peter was not putting Jesus to the test, something we are told not to do. Instead, he was the only one in the boat who reached out in faith. His impulsive requests led him to experience a rather unusual demonstration of God's power. Jesus' presence in the storm caused Peter to exercise a fearless faith. Peter overcame his fear and attempted the impossible. But notice that he did so only with Jesus' command to come. Notice also that he asked only to do what Jesus was doing. That is, he wanted to share in Jesus' power, some of which the disciples had already been experiencing. Peter was able to do miraculous things, walk on water, as long as he kept his focus on Jesus and had faith. The second he took his attention away from Jesus and looked at the waves and the storm, he started to sink. That's when Jesus had to reach out his hand and save him. Both of the gospel accounts tell of Jesus walking on water, but Matthew's is the only one that tells about Peter walking on water following the command to do so from Jesus. John records a second miracle after Jesus walking on water. When Jesus reached the boat, they were 2 or 3 miles left in the journey. But once Jesus reached them, they arrived at their destination immediately. I'm sure this was a relief to them, having struggled 3 or 4 miles on a strong headwind. The miracle greatly strengthened the disciples' faith. First, they saw Jesus feed 5,000 men with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And then they left him and started to cross the stormy sea, only to have Jesus come walking to them on the water. Then once he met up with them, there was 2 or 3 miles left on the trip, and it seems to have vanished. They're at shore. So when Jesus was received by the disciples, the storm and their journey miraculously ended. Imagine driving across Snoqualmie Pass in a snowstorm. High winds and driving snow making it almost unpassable. Just as you are at your end and thinking you're not going to make it, Jesus walks out of the wall of snow. Once he gets into your car, the storm ends in your home. The last few miles of your trip have vanished. not only would you be grateful, but you would also be a believer in the power of Jesus. We should not need to see miracles in our lives to believe. We have so many accounts of miracles in the scriptures that we have ample evidence to believe in the power of Jesus. The disciples saw many miracles before they truly believed. We should believe based on the eyewitnesses' accounts of the Bible, not because of what he has done in our lives. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him." To trust Jesus with all your heart goes beyond the intellectual and develops a deeper reliance on the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. It's hard. We want to think things through and over-intellectualize things. The disciples wanted to lean on their own understanding when they saw Jesus walking toward them on the sea. First thing that popped into their heads was not, "Oh, here comes Jesus." No, they think they're seeing a ghost. And we know, it wasn't until Jesus spoke that they realized it was him. Today we've talked about Jesus being there for us during tough times, and that the unbeliever doesn't have that. As Christians, we know we need to use the help Jesus brings and not forget that Jesus has been in our shoes. He walked the earth he created. When the storms of life become too much to handle, trust in the one who has the ultimate control. Again, we will not be given more than we can handle with God's help. He will allow circumstances to push us out of our comfort zone, but he will bring us through. God only uses it to push us so far to grow us. Storms will come and storms will go, but Jesus stays the same. Let us pray. Father God, what an incredible God you are. When I look at the beauty of your creation, I am in awe of your mighty and majestic ways. I see that the work of your hands, I'm overwhelmed by your love for me. Lord, I believe that you saved me. Help me trust that you have me, that you will make me whole. Lord, I believe that you hear my prayers. Help me trust that your answer is best. Lord, I know that you can create mountains. Help me know that you can move them. Please forgive me my failures. Increase my ability to give you everything. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.